Good afternoon. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. It's great that we can come together as we keep working our way through the book of James. As we take a look at this passage, why don't we pray and ask God to be with us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks that we can come together this morning, that we can sing your praises. We can hear about your work here and overseas in the Philippines. We pray, Lord, that you do a good work in us right now, that as we hear your word, that we might sit under it, and that you do your good work in us by your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm pretty sure that I'm not alone in this. For those who have kids of their own, it's that situation where my kids are reading or drawing when they're supposed to be doing something else. And so I tell them to go do their homework, to tidy up or to take a shower, whatever it is that they're supposed to be doing. And then I come back 5 minutes later and they haven't moved. They're still reading, they're still drawing. And I know that they've heard me. You know, they're only 2 meters away and sometimes they even say yes, but they haven't budged an inch. And yet I also remember this happening on the other end of the spectrum, where I might open a bag of chips, I open a packet of biscuits, and the slightest crinkle of a bag, and all of a sudden, they have super hearing. They are right there in a minute, and they're asking, oh, what's that? Here's what it is. I think it comes down to selective hearing, isn't it? It's selective hearing. Tell them to do something that they don't want to do, and they don't hear a word of it. But if it's something that they want, they have the ears of a bat, that they can pick up the smallest sound. And so often, that's actually us. That is us spiritually. That's the problem which comes up in this passage that James is addressing. When it comes to what God says to us, it's so easy for us to have selective hearing. Things which are attractive to us, truths that we love, our favorite passage, and our ears are open. But things that we don't like, things which are hard for us, things which actually call us out, well, all of a sudden, we tune out and we don't hear it. When it comes to the Word of God, we can have selective hearing. And James wants us to hear properly. He wants us to listen properly, and that's going to mean three things. It means that we need to be the right speed, we need to be doers, we need to be ordinary. They're the three things we're going to look at. And so first of all, be the right speed. It's kind of a strange thing to say, but take a look at verse 19. James says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Be the right speed. Now those things there, I think it's kind of the opposite of what we're normally like. Most of us, we're slow to listen and we're quick to speak. There's an expression that we have two ears and one mouth, and so we should listen twice as much as we speak. Yeah, that's kind of good wisdom, but James says it here. He says, get your speed right. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. It's actually talking about our relationships, how we relate to those around us, whether it's a marriage or it's a friend or it's people at church. See, I think we're really good at speaking. We're very quick to speak. We're good at nagging. We're good at putting people down. We're good with our insults. We're good at arguing. We're good at justifying ourselves. We are quick to speak. And God says, be good at listening. I remember being in a conversation with actually a group of us, but there was two people in particular who really liked to talk. They don't go to this church, and so you don't have to look around to see who this is, but in the conversation, one person would say something, and they'd be talking about a story, and when she took a breath, the other person would take over, but talk about a completely different story. And when she paused and took a breath, the first person went for it again. It was being in a room with two totally different conversations. They were good at speaking, but gee, there was no listening going on. They were just waiting for their chance to speak next. James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. In our relationships, we want to understand the other person. We want to be sensitive with the people around us. We want to care for people. And so that means we will be quick to listen. Sometimes we won't even speak. But if we do, we're slow to speak. That's going to help us with the third one, to be slow to become angry. And James tells us in verse 20, because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. There is such a thing as righteous anger. There are some things which we actually should be angry about. Gross injustice, child abuse, violence, those things are worthy of anger. But most of the time, if we're honest with ourselves, that's not us. Most of the times, our anger doesn't come because of the pain and suffering inflicted on other people. I think most of the time, our anger comes because of our selfishness, because of our pride, because we don't get our way, and that's why we're angry. Our anger is usually not because of righteousness, but because of our unrighteousness. Our anger is a symptom of our ungodliness. And so, be slow to anger. And I think it's kind of interesting to note that this particular sin, this struggle, is a domestic sin. We're smart. We don't show anger. We don't fall into this sin when we're in the workplace, when we're in front of our boss. Normally we restrain that. Where do we show that? We show anger at home. We show anger with our family. We show anger with our church family. Are you someone who's angry? Because God wants us to be righteous. Be slow to anger. And then verse 21, James says, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, Paul says the same thing. Jesus says the same thing in all parts of the New Testament. But Paul says it in Colossians. He says, get rid of the old self and put on the new self. It's kind of the same thing here. It basically means to repent. To repent of moral filth and evil. All the things that belong to our pride and to our sin. Just to pick out a few things from Colossians. It means getting rid of sexual immorality. Impurity. Lust. Evil desires, greed, getting rid of anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from our lips, lying. Getting rid of all those things and accepting God's word that is planted in us. And it's kind of an interesting image there. It's gardening language in verse 21. Get rid of all the weeds. Get rid of all those things that don't belong in a healthy garden. Get rid of the moral filth. And instead, humbly accept the word that's planted in us. Because those weeds, it's ruining the good ground that our lives should be. Now, I'm pretty bad at gardening. Just have to ask Dawn that. You'll know that. There's all sorts of people out there who are really good at gardening. You just walk down the streets. They've got beautiful gardens. And people will spend hours mowing the lawns, tearing out the weeds, making their gardens look great. And that's a good thing. But the time you spend in the garden, how does that match with how serious we take this command in verse 21? Get rid of the moral filth. Accept God's word in us. Or if gardening is not your thing, which it may well not be for a lot of us, think about all those other things that we engage ourselves in. The time that we spend on computer games. The time we spend on board games. The hard work we put into raising our kids. Working out which schools to send them to. The time we spend on our jobs. Our careers. Our sports. Our leisure. Our hobbies. Do we work just as hard at getting rid of sin and letting God's word shape us? I wonder if we need to actually change our priorities around here. We need to be the right speed. But also, verse 22, be doers. Let me read verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, when we come to church, you will hear the word of God. It's one of the great things about coming to church. And I hope that you're reading God's word yourself. I hope you're reading in your homes, with your kids, with your family, with your spouse, by yourself. That's why we have the daily reading Bibles. Grab one from the back. But the end goal is not just to hear God's word. The end goal is to do God's word. And if all we're on about is to hear God's word, it's deceptive. Now, we don't deceive God. You know, we don't trick God. It's not like God is up there looking down at all the people in Roseville with their Bibles open. We even have Bibles on our phones, and God's not fooled by that. We deceive ourselves. We think to ourselves as we read the Bible, we hear the Bible, if that's all that we're doing. We deceive ourselves thinking, I'm following God, when actually we are not. We deceive ourselves saying, God is happy with me, when actually he's not happy with me. It is a dangerous thing to deceive ourselves when it comes to our walk with God. Don't just hear the word, do it. Otherwise, it's a complete waste of time. That's the picture there of the mirror in verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, I suspect before you left the house today, a lot of us would have looked into the mirror. Some of us more than others. But to look in the mirror and then to completely forget what you see is ridiculous. It's a waste of time. Hearing the word of God and then ignoring it for the rest of the week is ridiculous. It is a waste of time. And it's dangerous. Do you hear the warning here? That's not the way that it should be. The way that it should be is verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, the word of God here is called the law, because James is focusing on the demands that the gospel makes on us. He's focusing on the law aspect of the word of God. It is God's law, but it is a good law. God's word is the perfect law that gives freedom. This is how God has made us to be. We are God's creatures. And when we see God's word and what it says to us about our lives, this is the maker's design. This is the maker's instructions of how we're supposed to live. God's word is not slavery, despite what the world says and sometimes what we might think. God's word is freedom. God's word tells me to love my wife and my kids. That is a good thing, isn't it? God's word tells me to be truthful and to be honest and to be kind, not to be selfish or to be greedy or to be angry. Those things are good. This is freedom. This is what we are meant for. To do otherwise is actually to deny our natures. It is actually slavery to sin. James Ricketson is an Australian film director. He's almost 70 years old. You might know that name. He's been in the news recently. Last year, he was arrested in Cambodia for flying a drone over a political rally. And he got charged with espionage, simply for flying a drone. After a trial that was widely criticised as being unjust, he was sentenced to 6 years of jail. This was back in August of this year. It's hard to imagine what it would have been like for James. 70 years old, in a Cambodian prison. Legally, he's helpless. A month ago, James was granted a royal pardon. All of a sudden, he was free to go. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, he has been given his freedom. He can finally go home. That the door of the jail is right there in front of him. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't want to go. He just wants to look at the door and admire it. He wants to imagine what life is like on the outside, but he's not going to go through. Now, that would be madness. That would be crazy to know there's freedom, but not to grab it. To look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and not to do anything about it is like looking at the door but not going through. It's as crazy as James not wanting to get out of the Cambodian prison. Why would you do that? Why would you hear the word of God and not do it? And yet, so often that's us. Be the right speed. Be doers of God's word. And just quickly, be ordinary. Be ordinary. Let me read verses 26 to 27. And as I read this out, see how practical this is. How ordinary it is. Verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. And what does James say? Go to church every Sunday. Sing songs that are exciting. Pray for 2 hours a day. He doesn't say that, does he? It's to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James is talking about acceptable religion. What is it that makes God happy? Do you see that? It's incredibly practical and it's incredibly ordinary. We worship God with the normal stuff, the everyday stuff. Our tongues, how we speak. James is going to talk about this more in chapter 3, but we can praise God or we can actually curse people. We build people up or we tear people down. When we talk, what do we talk about? Do we talk about gossip or the gospel? When we talk to our husband or our wife, does it show the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we always being harsh and mean? How we speak is how we worship God. To look after orphans and widows, it means to care for the needy because God cares for the needy. Michael and Angie shared about going to the Philippines and being able to use their skills to benefit the people over there. Who do you know who needs help? It might be overseas, sponsoring a Compassion Child, but it might be somebody close by. The single mum who needs a friend. The person who's struggling at work. The migrant who's moved next door who doesn't know anyone. I know somebody who fits this category. And if I take God's word seriously, I need to do something about it. Keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Being different from the world around us. 2 weeks ago we had the church camp. That's what it means to be holy. It's what we do. If we put these things together, it's what we do on the Sunday when we meet together. But it's what we do on the Monday, in the Tuesday. And the Wednesday, it's what we do every day. It's how we use our tongues. It's the people who are in need. It's being different from the world around us. It's getting rid of anger and lust and greed. It's being honest on our tax returns. It's being honest when it comes to skimming on the GST. Caring for people. Living for God in the ordinary. But that's what makes God excited. Be the right speed, be doers, be ordinary as we put God's word into practice. When Chloe was born, when she was still in the hospital, the doctor came in and put headphones on top of her. There she is, this tiny little baby with a tiny little head with these oversized headphones over her ears. Anyone who's had a child recently will understand the same sort of thing. It looks like she's listening to music, but she's not. What they're doing is a hearing test. The doctor is making sounds, and if the ears are listening well, the baby responds. It's a hearing test. James chapter 1 is a hearing test for us. It's a hearing test about what happens when it comes to the Word of God. And there's two questions in this hearing test. The first question is this. Are we hearing the Word of God? Do we come to church each week? Are we part of a small group? Are we reading the Bible ourselves? Are we hearing the Word of God? And here's the second question. Are we doing the Word of God? How is our hearing? We need to make sure that we're active listeners, that we're hearing the Word of God, and that we're doing the Word of God. What is it that you're struggling with, that you actually need to work on? You know this is what God's Word says. Now you just need to do it. Down the bottom in your bulletins, we do this each week, but I think it really makes sense for today. There should be, and somebody give me a shake of the head if it's not, a bulletin box. Because of God's Word, I need to do whatever it is. I'm just going to give you 1 or 2 minutes. As you hear the Word of God, how are you going to respond? Maybe you're here today in the sermon and your intention, actually got no intention of putting this into practice. You're like that person who looks into the mirror and just walks off. It's dangerous territory to deceive yourself spiritually. What is it that God is putting on your heart to actually put into practice? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks that you are a God who speaks.